Our first reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. This comes from the Common English Bible. Christ himself suffered on account of sins, once for all, the righteous one on behalf of the unrighteous. He did this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Spirit. And it was by the Spirit that he went to preach to the spirits in prison. In the past, these spirits were disobedient when God patiently waited during the time of Noah. Noah built an ark in which a few, that is, eight lives were rescued through water. Baptism is like that. It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Your salvation comes through resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that he has gone into heaven, he rules over all the angels, authorities, and powers. May God add blessing to the reading of this holy word. Amen.
Our second reading comes from the Good News of Mark, chapter 1. About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." At once the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of you may have been paying attention to the first reading that Cheryl presented to us. This is Peter's synopsis of the good news he had received from Jesus Christ. This is his Cliff Notes version. One paragraph in which he can tell about his experience of God through Jesus Christ. He starts with Christ's suffering, with his death on the cross, not for himself and not just because he'd been a troublemaker, but because we are all unrighteous. He says he did this to bring the presence of God, that he was put to death by humans but made alive in the Spirit. And it was by the Spirit that he went to preach to the spirits in prison. Now, do you know what that means? Took me a while too. This is where we get that part in the creed where it says that he descended to the dead. After his death and before his resurrection. Well, what's that about? Why is that so important to those early Christians? Well, it's really important because they're putting aside, especially in Peter's community of Jews, they're putting aside their heritage and their ancestors. And they were deeply, deeply worried and concerned that as they were finding new life in Christ and possibilities of resurrection, that their ancestors, their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents had been left behind. And this is Peter's assurance that Jesus came to be ruler not just of our time and not just of the future, but was ruler of the past, and that they too had found salvation, that Jesus had gone to them and brought them also along into salvation. This was important to them, and so we tend to kind of read over that part, but understand that God's providence is larger than we can even imagine. And then he reminds them of Noah and how Noah saved a few, how they were rescued through water, and how water still is the means of rescue through baptism. It saves you now, and he says, not because you were dirty, but as a mark of your good conscience. And then he says something that I think we forget because we emphasize the cross. He says, your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it is not only Christ's death, but it is his overcoming death through resurrection that brings us salvation. What a wonderful way to remind us of the story. And then, as the final piece, now Jesus has gone into heaven. He rules over angels, authorities, and powers. That's his way of saying heaven and earth and the universe and all that is in it is now under the power of Jesus Christ. One paragraph, and Peter can tell you what he believes and why he believes it. What a good way to start. Do you know the story, and do you have a way that you tell the story of not just your salvation, but the salvation of the world? And can you see that salvation being played out? That's the Cliff's Notes. You don't need to have the whole Bible, although the whole Bible is reflected in that one paragraph and is informed by that paragraph. We understand the other scriptures because we know these central truths. That's how we begin. Jesus began in a similar way. Jesus, after 30 years living in Nazareth, growing up in an obscure backwater place, Jesus came to that place where John, his cousin, was baptizing, and he too was baptized. Not because of any guilt of his, but because this was part of becoming one of us. Incarnation didn't just happen once. It's played out again and again. Each time Jesus does those things which we do. And as he submits to being baptized, washed in the water, he hears God's affirmation. You are my son. You are my beloved. Can you remember a time when you, like Jesus, knew you were beloved? For some, it was as a child with a grandparent. Sometimes even with a parent, although parents tend to be a little tougher on you than grandparents. It may have been when you met your beloved, someone who looked into your eyes and saw what you could be. It could have been a teacher who saw possibilities in you when others thought that you didn't have so much. It may have been a coach who saw how hard you worked. But each of us, if we are whole and healthy, has a time that we remember when someone pronounced us beloved, who encouraged us on our way. This is part of our spiritual journey too. Do you have spiritual mothers and fathers and grandmothers, coaches and teachers who have told you that God loves you? There's no more important message. And Jesus needed that message too, just as we do. And then Mark's synopsis, which is much longer in Matthew and Luke and John, describes Jesus being forced into the wilderness. Not invited, but forced. Pushed by the Spirit after that wonderful wonderful experience of becoming beloved, then he has to go and think about it. And that time of thinking about it, of reflecting, that time of internal struggle, okay, I'm beloved, now what? What am I going to do with the fact that I know I'm loved? What am I going to do with the fact that I know I'm stronger than I thought? What am I going to do with the gifts I've been given? Am I just going to enjoy them myself, or am I going to live for others and for God? There's a time of decision. Once you have had that experience of being accepted, you got to figure out what to do with it. It's a wilderness time. It can be a wilderness that's physical. It can be a wilderness in our spirits. What do we do with this gift? What do we do with this power that God has given to us? What do we do for the world? How are we going to lay down our lives? And it is tempting at those times to just use those gifts, to use that sense of empowerment for ourselves, to make ourselves feel good. And we then will tend to look again and again for those experiences that will make us feel good, but it's not enough. We have to wrestle with how we're going to engage the world so that the rest of the world can also be blessed through us. It's a wilderness. Some of us went through that as teenagers. What am I going to do with my life? Who am I turning into? How do I go from being a child to being an adult? It's called teenage years. It's a wilderness. And our spiritual lives have teenage years as well. And it's a mess. And people think they've lost the blessing that they received at their baptism or that they received at that experience of feeling beloved. But it's not lost. It's just being honed. It's growing. It's changing from what has happened to me to what I am going to be for others. Each of us goes through wilderness times. And unfortunately, not just once. Our lives tend to be pretty cyclical. Just when you think you got it, you don't. Back to the wilderness, back to the time of figuring out what am I going to do next. Every phase of our lives, from believing that once you got into college, everything would be fine, to believing that once you got out of college, everything would be fine. Once I get a job, everything will be wonderful. Once I get a different job, it will be even better. Once I retire, how blessed. Every phase of our lives has to be rethought and contains a piece of wilderness. And then there's this other part that Mark has in his very short little description of Jesus beginning his ministry. Because after Jesus was baptized and after Jesus was in the wilderness, he got word that his cousin, the one who had baptized him, the one who had commissioned him into his ministry, that he had been put in prison and he had died. And this news impelled him to leave the wilderness and go and preach the good news. How many of us have had that feeling in our lives of being beloved, have then struggled in the wilderness, and then had that event in our lives where we had to make a decision? We could no longer stay in the wilderness wondering what we're going to do, but it was time. Sometimes it's a graduation. Sometimes it's a promotion. Sometimes it's the death of a parent or a grandparent. Sometimes it's the illness of a friend that calls us into nursing or becoming a doctor. Sometimes it's a friend who has been put into jail that calls us to be an attorney. Sometimes it's arriving at the church and seeing that everything is in disarray and the weeds are this high that calls us. But there's some event, something that touches us, something that impels us to leave the wilderness and get to work. Not just to think about our faith, but to do what we are called to do. There's no longer a teacher in the Sunday school, so perhaps I am being called to fill that spot. There's no longer somebody to lead the youth, so perhaps this is my call to fill that spot. Places that are empty call us to fill them. John was no longer at the river, and Jesus was impelled to go out and preach and teach and heal and to do the work of proclaiming God's kingdom. Sometimes it's a nice thing that calls us out, but so often it is in the midst of difficult times that we hear our call. So Jesus preaches, now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust in this good news. That's what he heard. His heart and life was changed through his baptism, through the wilderness time, through the death of his cousin, so that he went out and did the work of God in his time. We too are called to begin. Every day we begin this journey. Right now we're in the season of Lent, a time of journeying, remembering Christ's time in the wilderness, remembering the time of the Israelites in the wilderness, remembering those times when we search our hearts and search the world and see where that which is in me can bring healing to that which is hurting in the world. How do we begin? We begin at the waters of baptism. We walk through the wilderness. And we do the work which God has for us. And in the midst of this process, we too are healed. This day, make to God a promise to begin again. Make to God a promise to lay down your life for the sake of the world, for it is in losing our lives that we will indeed find them. Amen.